This episode of Playing Doctor Podcast brought to you by bananas, the yellow fruit with no trans fat and a good source of potassium. Always bring a banana to a party. Bananas are good. Hello, I'm Ben.
And I'm Jenny.
And we're playing Doctor.
See,
Playing Doctor is our weekly Doctor Who podcast where we watch and discuss an episode of the hit BBC series Doctor Who.
Very good.
Every week.
Very good. Got it this time.
Sort of. So, this week we're talking about episode 9, right?
Yeah.
Of series 1.
The Empty Child.
The Empty Child. And after a couple of weeks of no guests, now we have a couple of weeks of with guests.
You're still going to hold that over my head now?
I'm just saying. I had to go to another podcast and beg somebody to join us.
Stop making this awkward for our guest.
Okay. So joining us this week is one of our good friends and fellow member of the Dork Trek crew at dorktrek.com. weird saying other shows on my show.
Oh, stop.
Dennis Black and Asian.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
You notice how he said it's his show? Jenny?
Yeah.
Well, I've messed up with that on a couple of shows where I'm on somebody else's show and I refer to the other show as my show.
It's fine.
Because I was on Trek FM. And
you can just do next week's yourself.
Might be easier. Hello, I'm Ben. And I'm playing Doctor.
With myself.
Yep. I'm playing
it
with
it. It won't be the first time.
I'll change the show's name to I'm Playing With Myself. So, Dennis, how long have you been watching Doctor Who?
Well, since I was a young boy, actually.
Really?
On PBS, yeah.
Okay.
They would play the reruns of the Tom Baker ones. Those are ones that I remember. I'm sure I saw the Fifth Doctor as well at some point, but right. I just mainly remember Tom Baker because he is so crazy looking.
Okay, so that's about, I guess, the Tom Baker years is when I came in, too.
Yeah, but it wasn't, PBS. While it was in production, it was reruns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was, with PBS, when I was watching it, we were a few years out.
Yeah.
So they were showing the early Tom Baker stuff during the late Tom Baker years.
Right.
Kind of a thing.
Yeah. Because didn't he go back to Skaro and try to stop the Daleks from being created?
Yes.
Okay. I remember that
episode. Genesis of the Daleks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good one. And that was with Sarah Jane, actually.
Okay.
Was still his companion.
Yeah.
So good episode. Okay. Yeah. That's a good one to remember.
Yeah. But I fell out after a while because life got in the way, as it often does.
Yeah.
And, when I moved back from Turkey, I started watching it on BBC because it had just come out there, but it was kind of intermittent, and I think the last one I saw was Midnight.
Okay.
And then I just kind of – it wasn't convenient to watch it anymore, so
– Right.
But I started watching it again recently.
I love it.
It's great.
Good deal. Now, do you watch anything else from Britain? Star Trek for that other show. That has – Sir Patrick Stewart, he's British.
Yeah, does Teletubbies count?
I guess it's British.
Yeah, that counts.
I don't watch that.
Yeah, the Wiggles
through people's bedroom windows. I don't watch that.
I'm like Tinky Winky.
Mind the puddle, Poe. Okay, so this week we're talking about The Empty Child.
You didn't ask him the other question.
Oh,
I want the standard questions.
I thought we did away with the other question.
No, it says it right there on your script.
We didn't follow
the script.
I will take my pants off.
No.
If that's the rules of the TARDIS, I will do it.
No, we only did... That's pants-free Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, you'd have to record on Wednesday for that.
I'll be back.
Okay. No, one of the standard questions we used to ask all the guests was, do you like the BBC?
Well...
You know.
I mean...
It's in the title. Why do you...
What? Because I like making you uncomfortable.
Yeah, after the Greg episode.
You do look very uncomfortable. Like, you won't look me in the eye when you ask that question. Why won't you, Ben?
Do you like the BBC?
Yeah.
Do you mind sharing the BBC?
You know what? I've loved the BBC all my life.
That's good.
Yeah. It's been there with me through thick and thin.
Especially thick.
That's just the long and short of it.
Yes.
But mostly long. So this week we're talking about The Empty Child.
Yes. This was a great episode.
This is one of the episodes that people refer to when you're trying to pick episodes to get people to watch Doctor Who.
You stole my line. That's what I was going to say.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this one of your go-to shows
for
getting people addicted?
Yeah, when people are saying, I don't really know what this Doctor Who show is about, I tell them, watch this episode first.
Yeah.
Because I think it kind of, like, it gives you a little bit of everything about what Doctor Who is about.
I also think, though, that by making them watch this episode, you're guaranteed they're going to watch two episodes.
Right.
Because when you get to the cliffhanger at the end of this one, it just pulls you right into the second one. You
right.
have to sit there. It's like, ah, what happens?
Mm-hmm. Also, I think this is, if I'm correct, the first episode without a weird-looking alien in it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much, yeah.
Because even the one before it, they have the, you know, the demons flying around or whatever. That's the one right before it.
Yeah,
right? Her dad,
yeah. Father's Day.
Father's Day.
Yeah. But like all the other ones, you know, the Slitheen and all that stuff, they're kind of maybe a little cheesy looking.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you're a full-grown adult trying to watch the show.
Yeah. Right.
But this one, the bad guy or the monsters or whatever are more believable. Mm-hmm. than other ones, so I think it's easier to buy into it.
And it's kind of a mix of sci-fi and horror, and, you know, there's all these different kinds of aspects going on, and plus you get introduced to Captain Jack.
Yes.
Who's everybody's favorite character.
Yeah.
Now, something I'd forgotten about this episode and might explain one of the reasons that it went so well is that it was written by Stephen Moffat.
Right.
Okay. Is this the first Moffat one?
I don't know. I think
it may be.
It could be.
Yeah, because I don't remember seeing that coming up.
Most of the other ones had been written by Russell T. Davies,
mm-hmm.
who, you know, was basically the big push to get the show back on the air.
Yeah.
But Stephen Moffat had been a fan, I mean, lifelong fan of the show, and actually did Curse of the Fatal Death, which was a charity special that they did with Mr. Bean as the Doctor.
Wow.
And we're going to be covering that.
Rowan Atkinson.
Wow.
We're going to be covering that on this podcast soon.
Is it on Netflix?
No.
Oh.
But you can acquire it via other means.
Yeah.
It's on the interwebs.
Yeah. But that's one of my favorite specials. And it was during that dark time. And a lot of the stuff that Stephen Moffat introduces in that is obviously, you know, parody or whatever. But a lot of the things that he introduces in that episode, like the Doctor getting married, the Doctor kissing, and things like that, you're going to see those, you know, issues come up again. Willy, won't he, things like that.
Yeah.
So, this one, I guess, do you want me to do the summary this week since you did it last, or it's up to you?
You can do it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't like how you refer to the Doctor's danger fetish.
Well, he does have a danger fetish.
Yeah, but see, this episode, it starts out with them, they end up in London 1941 during the Blitz.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't because of his danger fetish. That was because they were chasing
found this metal cylinder flying through the time vortex.
It flew by them, jumped into the time vortex.
Mm-hmm.
They're chasing it, and it pops out.
Code MOV.
Yeah.
Yeah, MOV.
MOV.
Wait. Yeah, that bothered me too. MOV. What is
Well, it's Mave. Pronunciation.
Mave.
They speak English there. They don't speak American.
Okay.
And because Red was just campy.
Is
all
it?
The confusion, all the dancing.
Yeah. Mm.
But, yep, he meets a group of plucky young British orphans who scrounge around to survive in the streets of the city during the air raids. Meanwhile, Rose is swept off her feet and rescued by a devilishly charming and handsome man named Captain Jack Harkness, investigating the mystery of the creepy gas mask-wearing empty child. The Doctor returns to Albion Hospital, where dozens of zombie-like victims have somehow transformed to have gas masks for her face.
Ooh.
And Rose and Jack find the Doctor just as the zombies awake and begin to close in on them. This is going to be a good episode.
Yes.
Because like we were talking about last week with our other guest, we don't know when we're trying some new things with this podcast. Because if we do it sequential, like we just go back through the show as it happened.
You jump around a lot.
The thing is that are you watching the show and then listening to this podcast?
We kind of feel like we're retelling the story and then just kind of like, you know, just giving commentary on it. So we're trying it a different way.
Okay. So, you know, just some of the
points. You want to experiment with me, that's fine.
Yes.
We are playing Doctor after all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, now, you asked about the connection, the title being connected to Unearthly
the
Child.
Unearthly Child, which I've never seen the Unearthly Child, but I didn't know if it was just sort of, I don't know, like, sort of a reference to that, kind of like...
Paying homage?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly...
Well, see, I mean, one of the things, they use the, they use the Unearthly Child in the description.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Netflix and on the BBC site, they refer to, you know, the Doctor and blah encounter an unearthly child.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like they're going, hey, here's a tip of the hat.
That was a First Doctor story, right?
It was the first Doctor story.
Okay. So, I mean, I kind of think that they might be doing that a little bit, you know, especially considering Stephen Moffat's a longtime fan. It's something that he might do to just kind of, hey, you know,
it could be.
This is a reference to this show that I've been watching forever. I mean, they do it in Star Trek all the time. Like, TNG would name something and have a story that was really similar to something from the original series, just right. Because they, you know, they kind of wanted to put something in there for the fans, you
Don't
know?
They do that a lot in the Revive series? They do a lot of callbacks to things that happened in previous incarnations?
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense because it's the same person.
Well, yeah, and a lot of the bad guys will come back, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, the first
Even some of his offhand comments, I think, especially the 10th Doctor, makes a lot of offhand comments about things that happened to him before.
Right.
That nobody else knows that he's talking to. You know, he's talking to Martha, or he's talking to whoever else, and they don't know what he's talking about, but if you've been watching it forever, for 40 years.
Well, one of the cool things with the, not to get spoilery, but there's an episode in the 10th Doctor's run that's one of our favorite scenes.
Yeah.
Where the 10th Doctor has to wear a gas mask, and he turns to another character and does the line from this show with, "Are you my mummy?"
Yeah.
"Are you my mummy?"
Now, I failed at UK history, apparently, leading into this, with the difference between the Battle of Britain and the Blitz. Because the Battle of Britain was the battle for air dominance.
I wish it was the Battle of Blitzen. That'd be awesome.
And all the reindeer and shit. But no, this was during the Blitz. The Battle of Britain was July to October of 1940, which was like 3 months. 3.5 months. The Blitz was from September of 40 until May of 41, which was like 8 months, 8.5 months of just constant, you know, was it bombing or whatever. And I looked it up on the wikis, and I guess London got bombed 57 nights in a row during this time.
Jesus.
Out of 72 times or 71 times it was attacked. So it was, I mean, a little crazy. People, if you're in your capital city getting bombed nightly, it kind of messes with your head.
Yeah.
And that's the setting that we're in for this. So when they get there, Rose is ready to find this thing that they've chased through the time vortex, right?
Yeah, and she suggests that they scan for alien tech. Doctor's like, why don't we just ask someone? So what does he do but go in this nightclub? And I was thinking, like, does he just think he's in, like this authentic retro nightclub? Because they don't realize that they're in 1941 at this
right,
point.
Right, well, he knows he's in the 40s, though.
Or, okay.
You know, because
I didn't know if he doesn't know sometimes.
Well, no, I mean, if he's going by the clothes and stuff, it didn't have to be during the war.
Right.
So it could have
been. But I'm saying it could have been modern day. They just, you know, have these 40s style nightclubs.
Well, she had an issue with him wanting to ask around.
Yeah, it does seem. It's not very Spock, is what she said.
So it's kind of cool that we got you on the episode.
Yeah.
So now we have our Trek
you're welcome.
Together. So that's her big thing, is she wants to see some technology.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to go the old door to door route. Hey, have you seen anything? And that was pretty funny. The scene with him in the nightclub when he just walks up on stage.
Yeah. Has anyone seen something fall from the sky recently?
Yeah.
It may have made a loud bang.
Yeah, and the audience start, you know, they're that quiet, you know, sort of like, is this guy serious? And then, laugh him. And just as the air raid sirens start and he sees the poster on the wall and he's like,
Oh, my bad.
So Rose, meanwhile, though, skips the nightclub action because she hears a kid on the roof. Are you my mummy?
Yeah, and she starts climbing up the roof to go, you know, go get him down or
well,
go
she
rescue
got
him
that
or something.
Bronze medal in acrobatics.
She did.
So she
and that's coming in handy again.
So now how does she get the kid?
She doesn't, because right when she's about to get to him, she sees this rope just kind of randomly dangle down in front of her.
So it's a handy way to climb up to the kid.
Yeah. Where was this rope before?
I don't know. That's a natural reaction for her, though. Anything that dangles in front of her face, she has to.
That's what I was thinking. Here's this big thing. Let me just kind of grab on it. Tug. No, but she climbs up this rope.
Yeah, because she's trying to save the kid.
Yeah, and then it turns out that it's attached to a balloon.
Which is the only thing that the kid says that's not related to his mummy.
In this episode.
In this episode. Yeah. Because he points and goes, balloon!
Oh, yeah.
You know, and as she slowly floats away. Now, she had time to drop.
Yeah, she... If you felt this rope moving and you were about to go over the edge of the building, wouldn't you just say, maybe if I let go right now, I can land back on the building?
Falling 10 feet is better than falling off the edge of the building.
Right. Yeah, she definitely had time to, to do that.
Well, it's probably more intelligent not to grab a rope that you don't know what it's secured to in the first place.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, her judgment is already pretty much in question at this
right.
point.
So. Yeah. So, but it just reminded me of that scene in Bugs Bunny. I don't know if you remember this one.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's, like, walking through the park and this guy's like, "Hey, Bunny, would you hold my balloons?" And he hands him the balloons. Mm-hmm. And Bugs Bunny's just kind of sitting there talking to him. And next thing you know, he's, like, floating. He's, you know, somewhere
just
else.
Floats off.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember that.
Oh, thank you.
I agree. That happened. So now she's dangling in the middle of an air raid.
Yeah, with a giant Union Jack flag on her shirt.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
I don't get why she was so paranoid about that, though.
I don't either. I mean,
because they're not really going to see that.
Yeah.
No, and even right from the beginning, the doctor's kind of giving her shit about her shirt. Like, do you really think that shirt's a good idea?
Yeah.
It's like, why not? They don't know that she's in the middle, she's going to be in the middle of an air raid.
Well, you stand out, though, is the thing.
Okay.
Britain in the 1940s isn't as friendly as Britain in the 1990s, maybe. Towards people wearing Union
right.
Jacks on their shirts. I don't know. But I think the scenes with the airplanes were pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
When she is dangling from the barrage balloon. And
oh, and you get that shot of St. Paul's Cathedral.
Right.
And it looks like the famous picture that you know, St.
Paul
survives. Or whatever.
Yeah.
So, and it seemed like they really made an effort to make it look like that picture.
Yeah.
So it was good. I guess it was all CGI, wasn't it?
I would think so.
They don't do magic.
They actually
anymore.
Went out one night and attached her to a balloon.
Brought in some Nazis.
Yeah. Yeah. Just had some standing by. Prince Harry hopped in the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Gets to wear a uniform without being in trouble.
And but he wasn't wearing any pants. Yeah.
And they bombed London.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Authenticity.
Yeah.
So now we get Jack.
Yeah, and right away we get an idea of what Jack's character is going to be. Because he sees somebody hanging from midair, and instead of like just immediately going to rescue her, he takes a few minutes to put on his binoculars and zoom in and look at her ass.
Yeah.
And he's like,
Which I think it's pretty cool how they did this. Like, you just assume anybody that they meet is probably from that time period. You know, you
right.
don't expect them to run into somebody else who's a time traveler or anything like that. But you already get the indication when he looks through his binoculars that, wait, those are
yeah.
kind of alien or future technology. What's going on with this guy?
Yeah, you're not getting that. That's not the 1940s vibe off of these things. So it's
yeah.
a good way to introduce that. Yeah, he's not
yeah.
right.
Yeah, I mean, right away, you know he's from the future. He's got access to
well,
other
he's
technology.
Not from around here.
Yeah.
Whether he's from the future or not, we don't know. But we know he's not from around here.
And he's a yeah. man whore.
He's a whore.
Well, no, I mean, he is a man and he is a whore.
Yes.
Therefore, he's a man whore.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, yeah, he, when he says nice bottom talking about Rose, Algy
yeah.
is a time and place old man.
Yeah, and he, you know, walks by and gives him a nice little pat on the ass as he
yeah,
goes.
Well, your bottom's nice too.
Oh. Does boat racing later on.
Yeah, so he,
he could probably dock.
I bet he could.
I don't know. Is that the thing in the future?
I'm sure
he's probably
it is.
Not opposed to trying.
No, I think what we're saying is he capable of docking?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I think so.
I should write a letter to John Barrowman and ask.
He should.
If I can get his agent's number, I'll give him a
okay,
call.
Okay, that sounds great.
So if anybody knows how to get in touch with John Barrowman, send us the information.
And we can find out if he docks.
Yes. So... just as Rose falls, Captain Jack is back in his invisible spaceship, we find
mm-hmm.
out, and uses a tractor beam to catch her before she goes splat in London.
Mm-hmm. But I like how her cell phone interferes with the
yeah.
the signal. It's like, turn off your cell phone.
That's actually a thing.
Yeah.
He's got 51st century technology, and cell phone's an issue.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe I should start...
Well, it's because of the jiggery-pokery that the doctor did on the cell phone. That's
yeah,
what it is.
Exactly.
See, I was just... So I can still safely use my... See, I secretly keep my phone on the plane when we take off and land.
Oh. So if there's ever a plane crash, it's your fault.
Well,
don't you have enough problems with crashing in cars? Why do you have to take a chance in an aircraft?
With aircraft?
Yeah,
that's
take
a good
out
point.
200 other people with you.
Well, if I'm going to go... Well, one, I'm immortal. I know this.
All right.
I come back. So Jack and I have that in common.
Uh-huh.
Well, no, we don't. I had to cut that part out. That's a big spoiler.
Oh, yeah.
Spoilers!
Spoilers!
So I have to, that whole section just...
Well, you have other things in common with Jack.
Yeah, we're both male.
And other things.
And we're both male whores.
You both flexible?
Yes.
51st century sensibilities.
Flexible dancing.
So, as soon as he gets Rose on the his spaceship...
She passes out.
She passes out. Boom. Got her in bed.
Gets her in bed right away.
Jack wastes
that's his
no
thing.
Time.
Yeah, the Riker maneuver.
That's right.
And he doesn't even have a beard.
No?
No.
You know
he doesn't need it.
No.
He doesn't need it.
No. He's got those eyes and that devilish smile.
Mm-hmm. He's got the little dimple in his chin. He's like, yes. Yeah.
He's a handsome man.
He is.
Everybody, what was it you said in the notes? Everybody freaking loves Jack.
They do. Except for, what's his name? New Mutant.
Yeah.
Apparently, he says, all of you that like Jack can have him. I'm like, really?
Mm.
Really?
That was kind of odd.
That was odd.
Yeah. Because I love
somebody protests too much.
Maybe. I don't know. Because, I mean, really?
Now, when Rose finally wakes up, though, I like the little scene with the psychic paper. Because he tries to use it on her.
And he accidentally flirts with her?
Yeah.
And then she accidentally flirts back with him.
Yeah, so they're both letting each other know they're available. So there's not much left on this that, you know, it's like, hey, we're interested.
Yeah.
So that's kind of handy with a psychic paper.
It is.
You could have some nice parties with that. Just everybody sit around and just pass around the paper.
Oh, that does sound like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could lead to things. It's better than a bunch of keys in
mostly
a bowl.
Lawsuits, but...
Yeah. Well, yeah.
We get to sign a waiver before you go to a party like that.
Yeah. So, he's assuming that she's some kind of time agent, and so he's trying to sell her the Chula warship that crashed in London.
Right. And she's kind of just playing along with it.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, you know, do you have the authorization to make a purchase? Well, no, but my companion does. Let's go meet him.
Well, so that was the thing. I mean, they're dancing on top of his spaceship, which is parked in front of Big Ben.
Yeah.
And I love that when he says, you know, it's... going to be 2 hours, and then it gets blew up with a German bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to, you know, it's a limited time.
Mm-hmm. Limited time offer. Act now!
Well, she asks him what time it is. And there's a 20-foot Big Ben behind them.
Right there!
Even with the lights off, you can see it's 9:30.
And that's the first thing she noticed when she got up there was...
She is lost in his eyes.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah.
But here's the question I have, all right? Mm-hmm. So he knows that she's not from around here because he scanned her clothes and all this other kind of stuff and everything like that. But shouldn't his thought also have gone back to, well, she was hanging on to a barrage balloon.
Mm-hmm.
She's probably not very smart.
Hey, things happen.
So she's probably not the leader of whatever outfit that came through the time vortex.
I know. I've had some pretty interesting leaders in my time, especially in corporate life.
Yeah.
That.
But I mean, if she was... smart enough and capable enough to follow that through a time vortex, even though it was bouncing around
wouldn't
everywhere.
Wouldn't she know better than
exactly,
to than dangle the, from a barrage balloon in the middle of the Blitz?
And mm-hmm. even if she did, figure out a way to get down without killing herself?
You get stuck in situations.
Yeah, I guess.
Shit happens.
Yeah.
Life comes at you fast.
Yeah. I would have just kept her knocked out.
See, I'm not really a big fan of Rose.
Yeah. I'm not really a big fan of hers either.
See? Finally, I have an ally.
Everybody else that's been on the show likes her.
Okay, but I'm just saying. I told you there's other people that don't really like her that much.
Yeah.
But in this
I used to have dreams story, of me, Rose, and Jack on little vacations together.
Just stop.
Rose in small doses is okay.
Yeah.
But after a while, she just wears my nerves thin.
Yeah. And I think in this episode particularly, or this set... she does some actually really smart things, and I give her credit for some of the stuff she does in this one.
Okay.
Not climbing the random dangling rope in front of her. But
that's just instinct. Her mother mother taught her that move.
Right, right.
I guess we, they start looking for the doctor. The doctor's been investigating on his own, and that's where this whole thing with the child...
My screen just went scrolled all the way down.
And so that's where we get to the thing with the child.
Mm-hmm.
So this kid has been going around the whole, are you my mummy? And so after Rose skittered away, the doctor encounters the kid
by way
of his telephone.
Yeah, the phone is not even real, but he gets a phone call.
Yeah.
And I have a question, though, about that scene when the doctor takes the call.
Mm-hmm.
when the phone's ringing on the TARDIS, and one, that confuses him because the TARDIS isn't wired up to anything. Mm-hmm. That phone should not work.
Right.
But it's just camouflage.
Yeah. So the phone's ringing. And the doctor's looking at it while it's ringing, and he's like, what do I do with a ringing phone? My question is that him saying, you know, okay, this is something unusual, what do I do about it? Or is it he literally is that disconnected from technology that he's like, what do I, you know, I don't answer the phone.
My secretary does this
for
me.
People don't call me.
No, I think
he doesn't
just...
he have a phone in the TARDIS?
Later.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he hasn't gone all out technology like that for a while. But yeah, the kid's pretty damn creepy. The girl shows up, says, you know, don't answer the
don't
phone.
Answer it.
This mysterious little girl. And then disappears, and then he answers the phone. And we get the whole, are you my mummy?
Yeah.
Mummy.
Mummy.
I miss my mummy. And then we see the girl again, though, because apparently she takes advantage of...
whenever there's an air raid, the kids or the families leave the house and...
go to their air raid
they
shelters.
They go to their little rickety shelters. And I'm thinking, like, did you see this thing? Like...
the tin shelter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they
I'm
really
assuming
safer?
It goes underground.
No, because you can see them. You can see them, like, right in there. They're having tea inside their little tin shelter. And I'm like...
I think it does, though, dip a little because there's sandbags around it. And...
yeah, but you definitely can see them all, like, just go in there and they sit down and they're having tea. Mm-hmm. The lady's carrying the tea kettle out and
it's
everything.
Like, I don't know if you guys remember the Simpsons episode where there's an asteroid coming to destroy the Earth. And Flanders is the only one that has a fallout shelter. So everybody in the town ends up going in there and eventually, you know... mm-hmm. He's outside. Everybody comes outside to join. I think Flanders is the one who gets kicked out because they don't have enough room. So he gets kicked out and everybody comes outside and the little pebble hits it and it just collapses. That's the same thing that would happen to them.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely can see that happening. Yeah.
So while people evacuate their houses, though, we find out her name is Nancy later. She's
Nancy
taking,
Grace.
Well, she's taking care. Yes. No, she didn't falsely accuse people of... doing things.
She's looking for all the little white children in the town. Yeah.
The missing white children?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, just the ones that are sleeping rough. And she's feeding them. Mm-hmm. Like she'll go in and take advantage of the fact that people in the shelters, she gets the food out of the pantry and takes it back. This house, though, that we see in this episode, they just lucked out.
They have a nice big turkey
dinner. Yeah, they were sitting down to dinner. Was it turkey or ham? That was turkey, wasn't
turkey.
It?
Turkey.
Okay.
Or maybe a giant steroid chicken, but it looked like turkey.
Oh, yeah, I think it's turkey.
So she sends out...
well, did they luck out? I mean, I don't mm-hmm. want to jump too far ahead, but I don't think they lucked out. I think she knew that, you know, where the well-off houses were.
Well, yeah,
and
I
where
know
to
that.
Head during
but
the air
raids. When she's leaving the kitchen, as she walks by the dining room, she kind of stops, looks in the dining room, and gets a big smile on her face.
It was dinner time. Okay.
Yeah.
And then runs out and grabs, you know, the other, you know, a couple other kids and then tells them to go get the rest of the gang.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they all scramble in and she's real big about, you know, make sure you chew your food. Everybody sit.
Yeah. One slice, everybody. One slice of spam for everyone.
I thought they had turkey. Now it's spam?
It's spam. Spam turkey. Spam turkey.
So she gets all the kids in, and they're all sitting around the table, the one slice only, you know, and everybody's, thank you, ma'am. And then the doctor says, thank you, ma'am, as he takes his slices and passes it on.
Yeah.
And everybody freaks out, you know, jumps up from
oh
the table.
They must have been really hungry not to notice a grown man sit down at the table with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that
You're
too.
You're focused like, on the food.
He really snuck up on them. He's like a ninja.
It's not the first time he's done it, apparently.
Yeah, sneaking up on people at dinner.
Yeah, which was a slightly uncomfortable little topic when they were talking about, like, you know, why didn't you guys get evacuated?
Yeah, weren't you evacuated?
It was like, well, I did. I got sent out to a farm, but there was a man there.
Yeah.
Like... okay, kid touchers.
I don't know what they were indicating, but that kind of was like...
I think it's
like,
strongly insinuated that these kids were getting strange touched by a creepy old man in the farm. But
so it'd be better to sleep rough in the city.
Yeah,
which apparently is the UK phrase for homeless, sleeping on the streets. You're sleeping rough.
I'm going to start asking people that I suspect are homeless. I say, are you sleeping rough?
I'm just going to start randomly going up to homeless people and going, you sleeping rough?
Yeah.
And Morty down at the 7-Eleven is going to look back at me with his dog that he keeps down there and his shopping cart, which always makes me sad because the dog looks so happy. And the dog makes him happy. But he bumps cigarettes for me sometimes. That's the only reason I know him. Oh, and yeah. I always would like buy an
At
extra
At least he's
pack.
Not smoking rough.
No, he's not smoking rough. And he's like, I'm killing
he's
the
be
guy.
He's breathing but, rough eventually.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have, you know, he's got fuck all going on in his life right now. So I'm thinking if I can make his life a little easier and he wants a cigarette. So I'd always kind of buy three packs because 7-Eleven had like a deal mm-hmm. where you buy three packs and you get price off. And when I was working at a better job, I would and I was down that part of the beach, I would always give him one of the spare packs.
That's very nice of you.
So then, you know, I wonder if I should start asking him, are you sleeping rough?
You
like,
should.
No, but I have emphysema now, you bastard.
Talk to my lawyer.
Yeah. I show up at the 7-Eleven next time and he's going to have like, you know, the lawyer's jumping out of the Chrysler or something. There he is! That's the one!
He did it!
His
me.
Oxygen tank.
I need an iron lung. You need Iron Man.
You sound like you're slipping into your Bill Clinton voice there.
No. So, while they're eating dinner, though, there's a knock at the window, and it's the creepy kid.
Yeah.
And that's where...
Mommy!
Let me in, Mommy.
I'm scared of the bumps.
I mean, the kid sounds so creepy, but so pitiful at the same
yeah.
time.
Like, you could tell that the doctor, I mean, he did want to open the door for him, and he yeah. eventually did, but...
Well, my thing is, because she's telling him, don't open the door, and then the phone's ringing, oh, he can make phones work, and all this stuff, and it's like, what the hell, you know, what's up with this kid? But, you said that the monkey going off, you thought
yeah.
that was a white... See, I had one of those when I was a kid, and it took a couple of great big D-cells, and it used to freak me the hell out. That's made this episode even more creepy
for me. I
have
one of those, but I don't call it my monkey.
I'm talking about a couple D-cells?
Yeah.
I'm talking okay. about the little clapping monkey that was in the episode. Thank you.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Clap.
That's a yeah, no, it's got the symbol. It, ching,
no,
ching,
Jenny's
it
the
goes.
Oh. You sound like a monkey.
Okay. So
and you invited me.
I know. It's okay. So Nancy refers to the kid as empty, and not to let him touch you.
Because you'll become like him.
He makes you into something like him. So that's kind of weird. That you know, they're
a little.
Yeah,
it's a little weird.
It's not a natural occurrence.
The doctor though opens the door for him after she takes off. You know, he has a conversation. You know, are you my mummy? No, I'm not your mummy. No mummies here. Just us chickens.
Yeah, and then he opens the door, and the kid's gone.
That's I found out. Nobody here, just us chickens, mm-hmm. is in reference to a song that came out in 1946, and then another Dork Trek connection, is Kirk uses the same joke in Where No Man's Gone Before.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody here but us chickens. So it's all full circle.
Okay.
They're all tying together.
Okay.
Yeah. Just leave me alone.
Okay.
So when she takes off, though, the doctor tracks her down, and...
Mm-hmm.
She's like, you know, nobody follows me unless I want them to or something like that. And how could you track me down? And he says, oh, my nose has special powers.
Oh, do your ears have special powers too?
Well, no, that was, you know, it was like, oh, is that why it's so, and she stops and he's like, so what? And she's like, oh, nothing. But do your ears have
special? She's looking like a dope. That's all.
You know, so she's basically saying you got a big ear and big nose and big ears and. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
like Dumbo, maybe.
So she tells him that they found the bomb by the railway
station. The bomb
station.
That isn't a bomb.
Yeah.
That he's looking for.
And so he really wants to see it. And she says, well, before you do, you need to speak to the doctor.
And the look on his face, though, it's almost like he's half expecting to go meet himself.
Yeah, and that's what I expected. I expected him to meet, like, maybe one of the other people that played the doctor as him or, you know, maybe another version of that specific doctor or something.
Before.
Yeah.
He's met other versions. They've all met each other, right?
Yeah, but that's usually on specials.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like
I mean, it's still...
the five doctors, the three doctors, the two doctors.
Yeah.
I doubt seriously we ever have the 11 doctors, that you know, anything like that.
Yeah, but... I don't think that's going to be possible.
Well, you can bring back something. Well, we'll talk about that on one of the spoiler episodes.
Spoilers!
About possible replacement doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of the sons of the doctors went into the acting. They went into the acting. They looked it up on the Google.
Went into the acting, you see.
So, yeah, but some of the doctor's kids look scary.
Exactly like
their dads.
Oh, yeah. Really? Oh.
And like Pertwee's son, Sean Pertwee.
Yeah, it was a little freaky.
I think Troughton's grandson looks a lot like him.
Oh, I haven't seen him yet.
And it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, yeah, you could get those two to play their fathers or grandfather, and it would work. I mean,
that'd be awesome.
You might have to put a wig on them, but to make it look accurate.
Accurate.
So anyway,
struggling.
So he's got to go see the doctor. And that's where we meet Dr. Constantine.
And
he's sick.
Yeah. And he apparently wants to die, but hasn't got around to doing it yet.
Right.
Hasn't found the time. And so he apparently knows a lot about Nancy and
what's going on,
and the little boy who's Nancy's brother.
We find out Jamie.
Yes,
he's her brother.
I don't understand how she knows him.
The doctor?
Yeah,
Dr. Constantine. Well, that's where they took Jamie.
Yeah,
when he got hurt, when the thing fell from the sky.
Okay, so after he was changed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They brought him to the hospital, and then they took him up to room 804 or something like that. Okay.
Get it right, Jenny.
Gosh!
It's room 802. And then after that, it was, what was it? He's telling him about the condition of these patients.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor's checking them out, scanning with a sonic screwdriver. And, they got
what are their injuries? And
yeah, and he's identifying it. And
head trauma.
Yeah.
Chest trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Scar on the hand.
So Dr. Constantine says, so what's the cause of death?
Oh, it's the head trauma.
Nope.
No, it was the...
Chest trauma?
No. Yeah. The scar got infected, maybe? No.
Gonorrhea?
They're not dead. No. They just have no vital signs. So he kicks a can and everybody sits up.
That was scary as shit.
Yeah.
And even the doctor was like, okay, what the fuck?
Yeah,
what the fuck?
I'm not digging that.
But I kind of liked that... Okay, I know you were saying that you thought... Constantine thought that the sonic screwdriver was just a pen light. But I just kind of... It seemed like, the doctor's just kind of looking over him and just...
I don't think Dr. Constantine was very aware of his surroundings, because he's fighting off this infection that he has.
So he's not thinking as clearly as he used to or whatever.
Yeah.
But I thought it was kind of weird that he didn't say, how are you able to tell all that without touching them or examining them at all?
But I think this is... I hadn't even thought about that. He's... in the last stages of this thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's probably...
Yeah, I think as we see, people get delirious and are...
Yeah.
Have a compulsion to find their mummy.
This is... he call it physical injuries as a plague.
Mm-hmm.
Because human DNA is being rewritten by an idiot. But of course, this is 1941, so they don't know what DNA is yet.
No, the doctor said that, not...
Yes, the doctor said, I know, but I'm just saying, so Dr. Constantine would be like...
What?
I'm busy... Hold on, let me cough up an air filter. And when he transforms into...
very cool effect, by the way.
It is.
Yeah.
Because the
way his eyes changed. And
the filter comes out of your mouth, and then his eyes turn into the goggles. That's the part that creeped me the hell out.
Yeah.
Was the eyes turning into the eyepieces of the mask.
And I like how right before somebody transforms, they just... Whatever they're saying, it turns into... Mommy!
And out comes the filter.
So, and meanwhile, Nancy is back at the house stealing some more food.
Yeah.
And her little brother has found her again. And she tries to hide under a table. I mean, a lot of this stuff is just really classic horror movie. Let me hide under this table and they won't see me.
Let me take off my clothes and make out with a boy.
Yeah.
That's what Rose does.
Let's go skinny dipping in shark-infested waters.
But Nancy took option C, which is hide under the table.
Yes.
Okay.
And, of course, when the boy finds her.
Well, he goes to the other side of the table, so she sees her chest. There's the open door. And she's trying to run for the door, and we find out about another one of his powers, the ability to point at doors and shunt them.
He's got a lot of powers.
It's more powerful than the Riker point. You can just point at a door. He has the force.
Ooh.
Maybe that's it. Maybe he has midichlorians.
They should have tested him.
They should have. He could have been the one.
Yeah, he could have brought balance to the force.
Wow.
And then Jar Jar shows up.
Well, I mean, it's kind of
Misa think this episode would get off a track.
I tell you what, if Jar Jar Binks ever shows up in Doctor Who, I'm not watching anymore.
Oh, no, I'll be done. Unless it's them watching it on television or something, no, making fun
man,
of
that
it.
Man, that sucks!
That's unacceptable.
Even if they, like, make fun of it?
No, that's...
Okay.
What if they shoot Jar Jar in the head?
What if the TARDIS
That'll be entertaining, but still...
What if they land the TARDIS on him?
And you just see his feet curl up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the Wicked Witch.
Yeah, ding, ding dong, dong, the Jar Jar's dead.
All the little munchkins are dancing around. Or all the Star Wars fans are dancing around.
If the Ewoks show up and sing Yub Yub.
Yub Yub. He's not the one. So...
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah. So Rose finally catches up with the doctor at the hospital, at Albion's hospital.
Mm-hmm. And Jack's
just
with
in
her.
Time
yeah.
for all the dead people to sit up.
Because they're all kind of linked to this one, the head boy, head vampire.
Yeah, Jamie.
Is is going after Nancy.
Mm-hmm.
And all the ones in the hospital are now awake and they're going after the doctor, Rose, and Jack.
Yeah, because they're like, they're networked or something.
Yeah.
So whenever he gets switched on, they all switch on too. And I guess they could just go for the nearest possible
people.
Mummy.
And so, uh-oh, we're surrounded, there's no way out, they're all gonna die, and then I love that they've started doing this on the new series.
The cliffhanger.
The cliffhanger. Because there's no way out of this, bam, credits.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to come back next week and watch it. Unless you're watching it on Netflix and you hit play next episode.
Next, oh my god!
Which, I honestly think you should skip the trailers.
Yeah.
Oh, at the end?
Yeah, in the credits.
Because they gave away
a lot.
Ton.
Yeah.
They went from like the beginning to the end.
Yeah. But I think if you haven't watched it,
it'll make you want to watch.
You're like, what's going on there? But if you've seen it before, you're like, well, they just basically said the whole story.
Yeah. So I guess they do a pretty good job of cutting it and not actually giving it away unless you already know what's going to happen. Yeah. So
I would still say anybody who's watched, if you're watching on Netflix and you know you're going to watch the next episode, especially if it's a two-parter.
Yeah.
Skip the preview.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed it, but Netflix now has a little countdown when you finish watching an episode. At least it does on my
of
computer.
How long it'll be till the next one.
Yeah, it's like instead of, it used to be, it would run down all the way through the episode, and then at the end it would say, do you want to play the next episode?
You know,
the screen would change or whatever, but now it kind of minimizes the episode that's playing, and the next episode pops up, and
you can go ahead and skip ahead.
And if you don't, click back on the episode you were watching, then it automatically cuts to the one before
then,
those previews
run.
You
gave us the tag for the episode.
What's that?
A lot of people don't know that, but at the
you
end,
better edit that out.
Oh, I'll edit this out, but it's going at the end of the episode to be reused.
That's fine.
But no, I mean,
that wasn't me.
If you listen,
that was you.
No, that's not the one I make. But so that's
Jack.
So that's it for this episode.
Thank God.
Oh jeez.
You too terrified?
Yeah.
And terrified by this.
You got to get started on the next episode.
Okay.
So what'd you think? Good, bad, indifferent.
I couldn't stand this episode.
Really?
No, I'm fucking lying.
Okay.
This is one of my favorite episodes. Okay. I mean, why would I tell somebody, watch this episode first?
You might be a sadist or something.
No, I want people to watch the show, and this is the one I'm going to tell them because it's really good. It's probably, if I count this together, like, as one storyline, it's easily in my top 10 Doctor Who of all time.
Yeah.
Of all time!
Yeah. I count them as stories whenever there's two-parters.
Yeah.
And this story is one of my top five.
Oh, you just had to say top five just to edge me out, didn't you?
Well, there's only freaking...
This is my favorite episode.
There's only 13 episodes a season. Mm-hmm. There haven't been that many in the new series.
That's fine. It's fine. Let's continue.
Okay, fine. So, Dennis, what do you think?
I think it was great. I think it's the first, in my opinion, the first really great episode of the first series because a lot of the first ones, you're just kind of getting to know Rose and getting to know the Ninth Doctor.
Yeah. And if you're new to the Doctor Who, it's you're getting used to the Doctor.
Yeah, just the concept of they're going to travel around in this police box and find trouble and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one thing, though, they could have parked the TARDIS on any corner in London and been fine in this episode.
Yeah, because it's...
This was during the era that police boxes were still common.
Oh, really?
So it's not going to stick out.
Weird
like
that you
thumb.
Didn't see any other ones. That would have been a pretty cool concept. They're like yeah. trying to find the TARDIS. Oh, my God, where did I park it?
Yeah, because that happened on the old classic series.
Oh, yeah.
Is that somebody mistook a phone box for a TARDIS or a TARDIS for a phone box. Something like that. The master landed a TARDIS on a phone box while a cop was using it, and the phone stopped working. And he was like, what the? And then the master comes out and kills him.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
Okay.
Yeah. So
nice.
Definitely want to thank Dennis for being here.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you for inviting me, guys.
And can you join us next week to finish up part two?
I'll check my schedule.
Okay.
See if I can do it.
All right.
I hope so.
I'll
this
get back
is great
to
fun.
Yeah.
Now, can we find you online anywhere? Do you,
you
have
can.
Anything? Where do you...
Just go to Dork Trek. DorkTrek.com. On Twitter, at Dork Trek. If you actually search on Twitter, at Dork Trek, mm-hmm. all one word... I will show up as a result because I have it in my description.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Is that your show? Like, this is Ben's show.
Yeah, that's my show. It's mine.
It's yours.
I'm like from Braveheart. Stephen from Ireland. It's my island.
That's my podcast.
Yeah.
I just let you walk on it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, but thanks again for letting me hang out with you guys.
So, thanks. Okay. Thanks for being here. And
we want to thank our friend Daryl Lewis for making our theme song, which is just fantastic. And he was our guest last week,
he
in case you
guest.
Missed it.
And you can find him on flyingmonkeymotogear.com.
Very good.
Yeah.
You said that perfectly.
I know. And the big news that we're talking about every episode now throughout September.
Yeah.
We're going to be at Intervention, or at least I'm going to have a table at Intervention for my webcomic.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to be promoting the show a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Right?
And so if anybody who listens to this podcast, or if they listen to Dork Trek, or if they listen to anything that I've possibly been on and have become some kind of stalker fan, now's your chance to find me
and
kill me.
The Ready Room.
Yeah, I'm on the Ready Room. But Jenny and I will be at Intervention this year.
Mm-hmm. I won't be at the table. I don't want to be seen with you.
I know. No, you can work the floor, you know.
Oh.
And
work the floor.
Well, you know,
work the floor.
You can go out and meet some of the peoples and go to the panels that I can't go to.
Okay.
I'll be doing a couple of panels about comics and whatnot.
Maybe I'll go to the panels to learn how to do podcasts.
That would be a good idea after the audio issues and recording issues we've had the last couple of weeks on this show.
I think you're in charge of this one.
Yeah. And I just want that on recording to say that. So...
Well, all the problems are your fault, too.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find us there, and if you can't wait that long, you can find us online.
And when is Intervention? September?
Intervention is September 21st to 23rd at the Hilton, Washington, D.C. in Rockville, Maryland. You can go to interventioncon.com.
Yes.
For more details. And so people don't think about the title. It's Intervention because it's Internet plus Convention.
It's not anything convention. To do with, like, alcoholics.
Oh, there will be alcoholics.
I mean, there will be alcoholics there.
I'm going to be there.
We're not going to stop you from drinking. In fact, most people encourage it.
Yeah. Responsibly.
Yes.
Okay, then. So you can get us online, www.playingdoctorpodcast.com,
mm-hmm.
which we say every week, except without the www. Debbie.
Little Debbie.
See, either intro or outro, I'm going to futz it up.
Uh-huh.
Facebook.
Good job.
Facebook.com/playingdoctor.
And we're on Twitter, @playingdoctors.
With an S, which isn't the show title, but that's because the other one's taken. You can get us on the Google Plus at gplus.to/playingdoctor.
And we're also on iTunes.
Yes, you can get us on iTunes. You can search Playing Doctor Podcast. You find us on iTunes. You can get us on...
RSS.
Yeah, if you go to playingdoctorpodcast.com.
If you have a Zune.
Yep. You can subscribe to the RSS there. If you do get us on iTunes, though, make sure you leave a comment or give us a rating because mm-hmm. that helps us so much. Show up in the rate, you know, show up on the list.
And it gives
better.
Me a warm, fuzzy feeling inside.
I thought that was my job.
Well...
Okay.
Sometimes.
You can find me on the Twitter @realityamuck.
And I'm on the Twitter @Jenny_Z.
All right. So thanks everybody. The TARDIS is here and we are out.
Peace out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna be difficult, very difficult today.